Good evening, class.
Good evening.
Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we left off with, we was talking about covenant. We're going to look at some more covenant aspects of the scripture tonight and what Apostle Paul was talking about when he, question that he asked, I'll turn to Galatians chapter 3 and we'll start off there and then we'll get into why he asked that question and then we can get a better understanding of what the covenant is that God cut with his people. Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul began, he went into the church and he found something different than the church and the way they was acting. And so he asked them the question. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians," he said, "who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set for crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." So he asked him a question. He said, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And the question is answered. They received the Spirit by the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. But the Galatians church had went back to what they always remembered and what they was used to, and that was operating in the law. Verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" So they're associating the law with the flesh instead of with the Spirit. One of the things that, again, go back to scripture in Romans 8, 1 and 2. We can turn over there and look at that scripture. Romans chapter 8. And the word of God says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh," who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So we have to realize what we are walking and whether we're walking in the flesh or in the spirit. He said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending forth his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit." Verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." So again, we are talking about the two covenants that was cut, the one on Mount Sinai and the one that was Jesus cut through Christ Jesus. That was a promise made to Abraham, but then God came and gave Moses a fleshly covenant that the people could not keep. And God told through the prophet Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah 31. Again, we'll cover some of these basic scriptures again, sort of lay a foundation. And he prophesied, he told Jeremiah to tell the people, he said, this is what's going to happen. He said that, "Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. But this covenant shall be that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Again, this is a spiritual connotation of what God says. He's going to put the laws. Wouldn't have to think about the laws and try to do the laws. He's going to put it in their heart so they'll know them themselves. So let's, again, let's go back and look at some of the things I said last week. By comparing the two scriptures with the offspring of two covenants with the offspring of Abraham, Abraham had two sons. He had one by Hagar. He had one by Sarah. The one by Hagar was considered the fleshly covenant. The one that he had by Sarah was more like a spiritual covenant. It was by promise. That's when God promised Abraham that he was going to give him a son, and that he was going to be the father of many nations. But that was a promise covenant. The covenant that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, the one that they broke, the one they could not keep, is the more of the fleshly covenant. The one that he cut with Abraham is more of a spiritual covenant. And we're going to see how God himself, through his word, handled this covenant. Then the Apostle Paul began to teach us about this covenant. Turn to Genesis chapter 21. Tell you what, we look at Genesis 16 first. We go there first and we see the first one. In Genesis chapter 16, and this is the first one. I want you to see this and see how this happened. It said, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from Haran barren. I pray thee, go into mine maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So what happened? God had made a promise to Abraham. And here it is that Sarah is going to help God. So when God give us a word and we decide we're going to help God out, then we make it worse when we try to help God out, you know. And so what we're doing, we're going back into the things that we know. You know, the word of God said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Everything you do, you acknowledge him. And he said, he will direct your path. Well, anyway, they decided, well, we're going to help you out, God. You know, you're not moving fast enough for us. And since you're not moving fast enough, we're going to take this, hey, God, this bondmaid, and we're going to give them to Abraham. Abraham said, hey, no problem. You know, it's good for me. So it goes on to say, he says, and let's read. He said, and Sarah said unto Abram, he said, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Because remember when they came to that door and God had told them, the angels had told Sarah that she was going to have a child by Abram. It was going to come from her loins. And she really thought it was funny. She laughed at it when she said it. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So she was helping God. Now she done, messed up, so now she's not so happy about it. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So like I said, she was helping our God, but she didn't, the results that she got. So basically what she did, she became her own God. When we become our own God, the results what we get are our results. We create ourselves, see. And so God give us a word and we, we go in and we're going to help him out. It ain't, like I said, again, it was not moving fast enough. And so because it wasn't, then, we basically mess up when we do that. Again, turn to Genesis 21, and let's see Sarah's part here. In Genesis chapter 21, this is the second part. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Again, you can go back to the word. God says, my word will not return to me void, but it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He said a child was going to come from Sarah. His heir was going to come through Sarah. That was God spoke that word. Sarah was, she was an old lady. She thought she had gone past age that she could possibly have children. Here, Abraham was over 100 years old. He didn't think he could have children. But God spoke the word, and because he spoke it, that word came to pass in their lives. So he said, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the same time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, as she was talking about back in the day when, when they came before, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Again, that's what, the word of God said, Abraham believed God. And because he believed God and believed what he said, it counted him to righteous. I was sitting here and I was just thinking, it seems funny that it's always the lady that get the men in trouble. I'm looking at it. I thought about Adam when I read that letter. I thought about Adam and Adam, Eve brought that fruit to him, told him to go ahead and eat of it. She bring his handmaid to him and go ahead and say, go ahead and take her there. And so, I said, so, we had to be careful, man. And so he says, Sarah, God made me laugh. Verse 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Remember, Isaac was of the flesh. Ishmael was of the flesh, and Isaac was of the promise. So he was more of the spiritual covenant part. And so what he said, this is the first beginning. He said, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for they shall not be heirs with the free. And so basically it's you can begin to see. And then the Apostle Paul, he got over in Galatians 4 and he began to explain. He gave a allegory here. Let's look over there in Galatians chapter 4. And so we who are in the body of Christ, again, we talk about that we are unpunishable. And when we have not learned to separate the two covenants, we still, when we look at people, we're judging them and punishing them based on the old covenant or under the law. Whereas in, you know, I showed it to you in Romans 8 and 1, where it says there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The old covenant was part of the sin and death part. And many in the body of Christ, many, all, you know, still operating. When we operate in the Christ, in the church, we're still operating in the law of sin and death. And God says that we have been redeemed from that curse, which was in the law. So we're going to Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul began to minister, and he was talking about the same thing, that these two covenants that God cut, and how he said it also. Let me read the first verse, and then we skip on down. He said, Galatians chapter 4, he said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. That's that maturity aspect. That's what's happening to us right now. We're maturing in the things of God. We're learning more about the things of God. And as we mature, you know, he's saying, even though you be heir of all, if you don't grow up, if you don't mature in these things, you differ nothing than a servant. So we don't know how to operate. That's why, our apostles is, you know, he's pushing very hard right now that we mature in the things of God, that we learn who we are so we can operate in who we are. And so once we learn who we are, then we can operate. We can become our Lord. He said, but it is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Because when Jesus came, and in the Gospels, Jesus was actually ministering. He was still, because he had not died and resurrected yet, so he was still operating under the law. That's why when the Pharisees and Sadducees was always come to him, and if he would heal somebody on Sunday, you know, he was not following the law. So they would always throw that in his face. But he would give them answers for that. He said to redeem them that was under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. So he redeemed the Jews and all the Gentiles who believed in him. They came into this spiritual kingdom through Christ Jesus, and not because of what they was, not their performances in the law, how they followed the law, but by believing and accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. That's that new covenant. He said, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts. And so, you know, once we accepted Jesus, he's come on the inside of us. Our spirit have been recreated. 2 Corinthians 5:17 say, if you be Christ, then are you a new creature. Say, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's that new creation that's on the inside of you. That old part of you that was in you, that sin nature has now been eliminated. And you've taken on the spirit of Christ on the inside of you. So he goes on to say, let's go skip down to verse 19, Galatians chapter 4. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's he was talking to the Galatians, because like I said, he had started to go back. He said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. If I stand in doubt of you, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? He said, he was asking them, he said, you that was under the law, but you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you still want to be, you know, follow after the law? But it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. Bondmaid was Hagar, free woman, Sarah. He goes on to say, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he that of the free woman was by promise. God promised Abraham that he was going to have a child. So that was a spiritual promise. He said, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which garnered to bondage, which is Hagar. The other, he goes on to say, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. That's why so much turmoil still in the Middle East right now, because of what Abraham and Sarah did. Because that group, that, you know, God promised that he was going to have children just like Abraham did. But all those ones over in the Middle East, the Muslims, all that whole group, they come from under that lineage. And so there's still so much turmoil. So we can tell, you know, even today, you know, that she messed up, because they still have not, you know, come to peace in their spirits yet. And so it says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of all, of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not, for the desolate have many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so is it is now. So that's what God is saying. Same thing that was happening back then, you know, the children of the flesh is still persecuting. They still want to annihilate the Jews, Jerusalem, which is God's chosen people. And, you know, over, and so, they, you know, if they could destroy them, they would. But God promised them that he was going to give them a land. And you know, when they got their land back in 1948, God promised them that. And it was a supernatural function that took place when they got their land, and they had that war, and they got it all back. God promised it to them, and, you know, they had all these armies, just like in Jehoshaphat. They had all these armies coming against them, and there, in the natural, there should have been no way that they should have won and took that land back, but God interceded on their behalf, and they now have their homeland, which is in Jerusalem. And so, but they are encircled by Hagar's children, the descendants of Hagar. And so it goes on to say, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bond woman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman, that's Genesis 10. It says, cast out for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And so what's happening? We are in the body of Christ. We are free. We are, you know, God has set us free. We are, you know, we're operating in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But many times we go back and we try to operate under that old covenant by trying to follow the rules and following the laws. And we are still trying to judge people based on the old covenant and not under the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so what the Apostle Paul, he, by comparing them with the two offsprings of Abraham, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the slave woman, represents the old covenant. And Isaac, son of Sarah, the free woman, represents the new covenant. So I just showed you that, you know, that was an allegory. But he said, cast out this bond woman. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 30, he said, cast out this bond woman and her son, for the son of the bond woman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. In other words, the two covenants cannot coexist in the same place. If we are either we operate in as free men, or we operate in the flesh, which is part of the covenant. So either you're a slave under the law, or you are a free son. And we know what free sons are. We follow the Spirit. Word of God in Romans 8:14 say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. Not by performances, but being led by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do. He's going to convict us. He's going to, you know, if we're listening, that's in our hearts. You know, the Spirit is on inside of us. And so we should be able to hear the Spirit of God when he comes, and he should be able to tell us when we've done something wrong. He don't condemn us, but he do convict. The Holy Spirit convicts us. And when he convicts us, he tells us what we've done wrong. And then that is when we go in and say, I messed up. I did something I was not supposed to do. There's a scratching in me. There's a conviction on the inside of me. And so the best thing that could happen to a believer, a child of God, is that they can hear from the Holy Spirit and allow him to convict them of the things that they've done, so they can get right back in the right standing with God. The whole process, the whole thing is God is so good. He always want to do good for us. And because he want to do good for us, he even show us how to do it. A scripture just came. I turned to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I'm like, say, he called it up, so I call it up and I show it to you. The Word of God, he made a statement here. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. He said, I've set these two things. God said, God always wants us to have good. He always wants us to have life. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So God said, he called everything that he got, all this physical world, all this world that you can see, heaven and earth, against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, then he gave me an answer. He told me what he wanted me to do. He said, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I go back to, you can see that scripture over in John 10:10 now, just floating through here. It says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants us to have that abundant life. And so when we choose life, guess what we also choose? We choose the blessings also. We choose God's goodness and the good things that he had for us. And, and so that best thing that God could have did for us is giving us a choice to choose. He could have put a button like they got chips in computers now and just flip the switch and say, you're going to love me anyway. But he didn't want that. He wants us to choose to love him so he could do what he wanted to do for us. And that is to be good to us. God wants to be good to us all the time. That's why he gave the law. He gave the law so there could be a knowledge of sin so that people could come to him rather than trying to, do it on their own. But God has made it so now that we don't even have to do it. And we don't even have to perform anymore. All we have to do is believe in Christ Jesus and believe what he've already done for me and just receive what he've already provided for me. And he made it possible. He gave us his word, Romans chapter 5. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Jesus, Apostle Paul again in Ephesians 2:8. He said, you're saved by grace through faith. We believe that. It's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. And so once we begin, again, once we receive it, then we can begin to reign. That's looking in that mirror that my apostle been teaching so hard on, figuring out, letting me know who I am and how I can operate. Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 17, like I said, we go and just see some things. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned, talking about Adam again, that is again, he said, by one, he said, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. So we should be reigning in life. If we, this Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we have that free grace. We have that gift. The Apostle Paul made a statement, which is an awesome statement. And Apostle Paul said, he said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. What he was saying is that, you know, none of the things that I could do, I could not do it without God's grace. And so if we get to the point that, you know, we want to do something and we he's given us his word that we can ask him, you know, John 15:7 say, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. So if you get, you want to know something, you want to do something, you can ask God for his grace. And when when you ask him for his grace, he'll help you to carry out those things that you need to do. He's told us what he wants us to do, but then he's given us his help that we can do the things he wants us to do through his grace, through that free gift that he's given unto us. And so, again, all we have to do is receive it. And once we receive it, then he'll help us to carry it out. He'll help us to walk in this righteousness. He'll help us to walk through this kingdom, this supernatural kingdom that he provided for us to operate in. He helped us. He's given to us his abilities that we can operate. We can walk in the supernatural through God's ability himself. And so, you know, we look at our little selves, you know, we little measly, flushes, you know, things. But God said, you look, I put all my power in you. Everything that you need to operate while you're here on this earth, I've already provided for you. And all you have to do is begin to, you know, receive it and walk in. I tell people, it's awesome. It's awesome what God has provided for us. And, you know, he's a good God. And since he's a good God, then all we have to do is receive his goodness. Again, let me go back to this, what I was saying earlier. The two covenants cannot coexist in the same place. Either you're a slave under the law or you are a free son. So we have to choose. And God said, I give you the answer. He wants you to choose life. When Paul was talking to, concluded by identifying those who have embraced Christ, let's look at Galatians 31, 4 and 31. Again, the apostle, you know, I say, we have to choose his freedom. So the Apostle Paul, he was explaining to the Galatian church. He said, so then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free, of the promise. It was for freedom that Christ Jesus set us free. And he tells us, he kept telling them, you know, he was teaching. The Apostle Paul began to teach the various churches that he went through. He would come back and he would again. So here in Galatians chapter 5, looking at verse 1, Apostle Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We showed you that, you know, if you operate in law, we are still operating in the law of sin and death. So he said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If a I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, he said, you're fallen from grace. See, if you're trying to be justified by your performances, by what you do, then he said, you're fallen from grace. You're not receiving this grace. Again, grace is a free gift. And so when you try to perform to be righteous, then you are fallen from grace. He says again, when we was over in Galatians 5:22, he was teaching again. Where he said, I do not frustrate, 220, that's where you want to go. 220, where the Apostle Paul, you know, he got that revelation, you know, who he was and who Christ Jesus was. And so when he got who he was, then one of the things he said, since I'm crucified with him, he said, you know, in Galatians 5:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ Jesus. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh. See, you know, that's where, you know, you go back to the flesh because you got to live it in the flesh. You got to have an earth suit so you can operate in the earth realm. But in the spirit, you can also operate. God has created so we can operate in two distinct realms. We can operate here on the earth in our flesh suit. But we also can operate in the realm of the spirit by what Christ Jesus had put on the inside of us. So he said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me so that I could live in the spirit. And then he goes on to say, he said, I do not frustrate. When I frustrate the grace of God, those things that God has provided for me, I cannot operate in them. I can't do them. Because why? God said, I provided it for you, and you're frustrating. I can't do what I want to do for you because of your frustration. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ Jesus is dead in vain. So he's saying that Christ died for no purpose if we don't receive him for what he died for. If we still trying to do it on our own, you know. So he said, I don't frustrate that grace. Again, Ephesians 2:8, he said, you're saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. It's a free gift. And we receive that grace. And we don't frustrate it, but we begin to operate in it. You know, Romans 5:17 say, you know, the abundance of grace we receive. And, you know, grace is important. You know, when we who are in the Word of Faith, they got hold to a couple years ago. They begin to teach about grace. And basically they was teaching grace in such a way that, you know, it's almost like they was giving people a license to sin. But that grace is not for a license to sin. That same grace will help us keep from sinning. See, you know, if we receive it properly. And so that's the grace that we are talking about. Even though, you know, it's a free gift, we have that grace. But that grace, you know, it empowers us to be holy, to operate in sanctification. And again, you can ask for that grace. Hebrews 4, 12, 13, 14. It tells us that we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. We can come in there with boldness that we may obtain grace, obtain mercy and grace when we need it. See, you know, and when we're operating in this life, we need that grace. And so we can go boldly to the throne of grace and receive it. You know, whatever you need to do, whatever you want to do, you know, if it's in God's right way, way of doing things, you can receive that grace. And he'll help you to get through those things that you need to do. Again, let me give you a few more notes before I get out too far. He said, you have two choices. The rules, which is the old covenant, are to be free, which is the new covenant, no punishment. Which is no punishment. Again, you can go back and you can think about Romans 8:1 again. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who operate, who walk not by the flesh, but by the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul had to rebuke the Apostle Peter for trying to get the Gentiles believers to obey the rules again. Apostle Paul say, if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What he's saying is, if I try to make people go back and do those things, go back into the law, I become a transgressor. I'll turn to, again, Galatians chapter 2. We are right there. You know, Peter was the one who always, he always wanted to do things. He just, he, you know, I like Peter. He was, at least he was doing, he was doing things, you know, he may make some mistakes, but at least he was trying to get there. Yeah. And when he walked out of that water, he was trying to get there. Here in Galatians chapter 2, it says, and look, beginning at verse 11, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, the Apostle Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame, Apostle Peter. He said, for before the certain came from James, he was a pastor over there. And so he was teaching. He said he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they was come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them, which was of the circumcision, which was the Jews at the time. And so, you know, they see it before Christ Jesus came in the law, the Jews could not associate with the Gentiles. It was heresy for them to associate with them. And so what Peter was doing, these individuals had got saved, had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Peter said, you know, he took them back. He said, fearing them, he got scared because they, you know, just like, you know, the spirit of racism right now, you know, and because of the spirit of racism is still existing, you know, which we who God has assigned to break that spirit of racism over this area, you know, that's part of our vision right now. You know, we are praying about it. We're seeking God about it. And you know, he told us to pray about it. And, you know, and so it's his will that we do it. We, you know, we can use 1 John 5:14-15. You know, this is confidence I have in him. If I ask anything according to his will, that he hear me. And if I know he hear me, then the petitions that we are asking him for, then we know that we have those petitions. So we are petitioning God for those things. So the spirit of racism is being broken over this area. It's being cursed in this area. We are our apostle have an apostolic assignment, and we who are part of that apostolic assignment, we know what our assignment is. We're connected to it, and guess what? He's imparted that to us. We are part of him. We have his spirit. So we're breaking that spirit of racism in this area. Amen. And so he goes on to say, he says, verse 12, he said, before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they was come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So, you know, many times we know better, but we allow people to persuade us to do what is not right in the sight of God. And so so we ourselves have to be aware, you know, what's going on. We have to know. He said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly, that's Apostle Paul. He said, when I saw that they walked not upright, unrighteous, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou that the Gentiles live as the Jews? Why do you want them to go back to the law again and do these things which we've now been set free from? We are no longer operating under the law. We don't have to be circumcised anymore. and because of what Christ Jesus has set us free from these things. And so he said, you know, you're operating not according to, you're not operating, walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, according to the truth of the good news of what Jesus has already provided for you. And so he rebuked Peter. He goes on to say, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The works of the law mean I'm trying to keep up with everything that the law says, everything that the law does. And they could not, none of them couldn't do it. Like I said, but within that law, you know, we say the Ten Commandments, but there was over 685 some various parts of that law, ordinances that they had to keep. And if they did not keep all of them, they still was not in the right standing in the sight of God. They was not doing what was right. And so that's why God had to make that new covenant with them. He had to make a better covenant with better promises. He say, goes on to say, now knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law. So he's saying, you by the works of the law, no flesh. Nobody, we're not operating according to the flesh. We're operating according to the spirit. So we cannot justify. We cannot works. We cannot do the works to make ourselves justified in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, for he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's how I became righteous, not by operating the law, but by believing Christ Jesus and taking on his coat of righteousness. He took my coat of sin and he put on me his coat of righteousness. And so when I walk around, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what I did, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what he did and not because of my performances by following the law. He goes on to say here, he says that, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He said, for I through the law am dead to the law. Yeah, you know, you see many times, cast out that bond woman. So we cannot operate in the law and in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have to either choose one which we're going to operate in. If you try to operate in law, you're going to have to do all of them. Right. Everything, all the ordinances you're going to have to do. So we might as well take that one, believe in Christ Jesus. You know we can do that. You know, we can believe that. And then begin to operate in the law of life in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, he said, for again, and then that's where you get down and say, you know, it came up again. He said, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. And Galatians 2:20. And he says it again. He said, I am. He said, I am in him again. You know, he crucified with Christ. Then nevertheless he lived, yet not him, but Christ liveth in him. And the life which he now lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. And he goes on to say, I don't frustrate this grace. I take it and I receive it. Meditation scripture, Galatians 2:20. Let that be our meditation scripture for this class. And go in and look at it. Allow it to look at the mirror of the word. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So we're gonna leave it right there for this class. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. We thank you that you open our eyes, that we see our ears, that we hear, give us a heart to understand. We thank you that we're no longer just hearers of your word, but we become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.